All right, welcome to Module 1, Lesson 2, Common Questions About Meditation Answered. So in this second lesson of Module 1, we're going to cover a number of the most commonly asked questions, the questions that most often stump beginning meditators, the questions that really get in the way of a healthy and successful practice, the questions that when we're unable to answer, we drop off of our practice, and or our practice just suffers for one reason or another. So these are all really important questions, and we're gonna cover them all today, rather. So number one, we're gonna talk about what type of meditation practice, what meditation should I practice, rather, and why mindfulness meditation. So you already know from the first video in Module 1 that we are practicing mindfulness meditation as a part of the course. And of course, I mentioned before, if there's some sort of other meditation practice which is your focus, which you've been practicing for some time, and your intention is to make that your consistent meditation practice, by all means, go ahead and do that. But as I mentioned as well, mindfulness meditation is the center of this course. And if you haven't meditated before, that is the practice I suggest. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in this first question, and I'm going to go into some pretty good details so that you know the answer to essentially both of these questions. One leads into the other. Number two, how long should I meditate? This is a big question that stumps beginning meditators, and this is one of the main questions that really gets people to drop off of their practice. The first question really, and this question as well. So next we're going to go over, how do I know I'm meditating, or how do I know I'm being mindful? And the I am trick, which is a little trick that you can use. Very simple, very straightforward. I've taught it quite a bit, and it's people find it extremely helpful. I found it helpful myself as well, and it's just really simple and easy to use. And so we talk all about that. How do you actually know that you're meditating? This is a big problem that a lot of people face in the beginning, especially if you don't have a formal teacher. You know, a lot of people are learning online nowadays, and they don't have any sort of formal guidance. So tricks like this, this information can really be extremely helpful. Number four, what is the difference between mindfulness and meditation? There's a lot of confusion about this as well, and I'm not just going to clear this up just for the sake of clearing it up. This actually leads us to a very important point, something that you should know as a part of your practice that will help improve your practice. So, and then number five, just a quick lesson three preview, and I mentioned this here. Typically, I won't mention that there's a preview for the next lesson here, but I mention this here because really the biggest question and challenge of all is what lesson three is all about. It's so big that I isolated it as its own lesson. So lesson three is somewhat in a way going to be an extension from lesson two, and it's about the biggest question and challenge of all, the thing that stumps people. It not only keeps people from trying out meditation, it makes the most amount of people, from what I have seen personally, drop off of their meditation practice. It's what frustrates people the most about their practice. And really, for the most part, it's just a misconception that can be cleared up quite quickly. So really big one. Lesson three, again, is isolated. That challenge, that particular question is isolated around it. But I'm going to mention it real quickly about what it's about at the end of this lesson. So let's get going. So question number one, what type of meditation should I practice? And that will lead into why mindfulness meditation. So there are dozens of different meditation styles, or more, honestly, just depending on how you define meditation. With the popularization of meditation recently, there's been a lot of older practices that people have kind of extended the meaning of the word meditation. Not so much the meaning in the dictionary, in the English dictionary, but the meaning of the word meditation as it was used in the Far East and as it's been brought to us over here. So it's a lot of people sort of latching onto that word nowadays. So if you include that, there's a whole lot more than just dozens of different meditation styles. So how do you choose a meditation style? How do you decide what that practice is that you're going to do day in, day out? Because that makes a really big difference. Different meditation styles are done for different purposes and lead to different, you know, quote unquote results. And so how do you decide what that practice is? What you choose is ultimately up to you. That's your choice. You know yourself better than anyone, likelihood is at least. And you know your life. You know the conditions of your life. You know what you want to do with your life. You know all those various different details. And so that choice is ultimately up to you. However, I like to look at a few things. And these are general qualifiers, okay? How the practice feels for me, that's a big one. That's a really big one. Different meditation practices are going to fit other people better. And so you really need to keep that in mind. Scientific research, that's a big one as well, because it shows that there is some sort of real credible backing for benefits of a particular meditation practice. I know that's really important to a lot of people. The benefits of the practice itself. What's the purpose of the primary purpose of the practice? And that differs definitely by the type of meditation practice. The history, where'd the practice come from? What are its origins? And the history itself can serve as its own point of validation, just like scientific research can. We'll talk about it in a minute, but what this course is rooted in is mindfulness meditation, which at least the story goes, the origination point is from the Buddha and all those who practiced before him, which is where he essentially got the basis for his practice from. And that's 2,600 years of history or longer of people practicing and realizing the various different results from the practice. So that's a huge point of validation. Just like scientific research is important, that's another thing to take into consideration as well. And then current support. Do not overlook this point. There are different forms of meditation, and there's a different number of people practicing those particular forms of meditation, and there's different numbers of people practicing that form of meditation near you. And so you need to keep in mind, what is in my area? How many people practice this form of meditation in the world right now? You know, how many people are talking about it online? Is there this big community of people that I can get a lot of information from, or is not a lot of people practicing it? So it's going to be more difficult to get information, more difficult to get support if I have problems in my practice. And so make no mistake, that's a big, big deal. You want to keep that in mind. So now it might not be a surprise, of course, at this point. I began my mindfulness meditation practice with very few of these qualifiers in mind. This is the practice I began with personally. So I began with very few of these qualifiers in mind, okay? But if I had to go back now and choose again today, my choice would be the same. It would be some form of mindfulness meditation. And that's really any kind. The Buddhist, the origin practice in Zen or Vipassana, both are very popular in the U.S., and it's typically very easy to find local schools, and or at least it's not all that difficult. It's relatively easy, depending on where you're at, or some secular version of the practice as well. And so the reason why I say that, let me go back to this slide really quickly. The reason why I say that is because of these qualifiers. For me, how the practice feels when I practice. This is the practice that's really given me the most significant. It had the most significant impact on me. The practice overall has just been what I've liked the most, and I've tried out a number of different meditation practices. There's a lot of scientific research backing mindfulness meditation, and there continues to be more as the months or years go by. The benefits of the practice are huge. A lot of them I don't even talk about typically because they're the ones that have arisen primarily from scientific research, and they're not the original intention of the practice. So the benefits are huge, and the origin benefits, the original reason people practice the mindfulness meditation, to me, are more than enough. So the benefits to me are so big. It really serves as a foundation for improving your entire life as a whole, and there really could be, to me, nothing more significant than that. The history, as I mentioned, 2,600 years or more practice history. Mindfulness meditation. And again, as I mentioned in the first video of this module, lesson one, the Buddha sort of rediscovered the path of insight, which opened up a whole new world to the practice of meditation in general, but also mindfulness meditation. It's not just about calming the mind. It's not just about finding clarity. It's also about realizing really significant insights that change our entire life, that really change the way that we live, that allow us to live more peaceful, more balanced, happier life. So there's a huge amount of history to support it. That's a huge point of validation. And the current support, it's a huge community that's growing rapidly every single year. And so your ability to find local schools or local classes or teachers, support other practitioners, is you're much more likely to find that than with other forms of meditation, which is definitely possible. But it's just, this is a very quickly growing community, and it's very big as it stands right now. And so that's definitely a point, a check mark for the practice as well. So for me, going off of these qualifiers, it meets all of these and then some. But I don't want to let this overshadow the first point. When you practice for yourself and you feel those benefits in the practice for yourself, that's more important than anything else. Nothing else really is even half as important as when you do the practice yourself, you feel those benefits, you experience them firsthand, that's most important. So I want to make sure to emphasize that. But again, that's why, going back to this, that's why this is the meditation practice that I emphasize. Now, at this point, my direct experience with the practice far overshadows anything else. My direct experience of the practice has been that of something absolutely incredible that has changed so many aspects of my life. It's something that has really significantly changed my life in a number of ways. So now, moving on, there are many meditation styles out there that focus on the breath. The breath is a really common focal point for meditation styles. The meditation styles which came to us from the West, whether from yoga or Buddhism or elsewhere. However, mindfulness meditation is more than just a simple calming and clarity granting exercise. Now, I touched on this in lesson one, but I'm going to talk about this in a little bit more detail now, as I mentioned I would in this video. Mindfulness meditation practice can allow the cultivation of critical insights that have a real and significant effect on the quality of your life as a whole. So it's not just calming the mind. It's not just bringing the mind at rest, which, by the way, doesn't mean you stop thinking rapidly. The monkey mind still keeps going, but you can see it clearly. You can pay attention to the activity of the mind with clarity. Now, this is because mindfulness is about more than just calming the mind, as I mentioned. It's about developing greater awareness and insight. It's about developing the ability to see ourselves and all things simply as they are, without all the things we tend to layer on top of it, which I like to call the movie of our life. We layer so many different things on top of our experience. The experience, life itself, that is reality. That's what's actually going on. But we layer these different things on top of our experiences, and that has a significant impact on our life. This is where much of the suffering we experience arises from. Let me give you some examples. The story we tell ourselves, the story we tell about the person that cuts us off on the freeway and how they're keeping us from catching the ball game. So in this case, you become very angry. You become very angry and resentful towards the person. You tell yourself, this is an inconsiderate person. They cut us off. How dare they? How dangerous. Especially if you have your kids in the car, that can be very, very difficult not to do. So it's a story that we tell ourselves about the person. It's a story that we tell ourselves about the event, about what happened. The story we tell ourselves about not being good enough when we don't get the job. And the story we tell when a relationship goes south and we're left ruminating. I shouldn't have this, and I should have been more that. By seeing the world as it is, clearly and simply, we can cultivate the ability to begin removing this needless suffering from our life. And this is such a significant point, benefit of the practice. So you can get cut off on the freeway without judging the other person and making yourself angry. You can meet a setback head on without adding negative self-talk or any internal dialogue to it that brings you down further. And you can see the arising and passing away of things in your life as simply the way things are, without further beating yourself up with rumination. So there's various different examples of this, but these are just a few. And the practice isn't, you know, you meditate and all of this goes away and you just become this perfect human being. That's not what it is. You're still a human being. Things still affect you. You still get angry. You still get sad and mad and all of that stuff, but you don't add that additional dialogue. So whereas you might've gotten angry because somebody cut you off, you get really angry. You get furious because of the story you tell about what that person kept you from, about how inconsiderate that person is. That made you furious. Them cutting you off just made you kind of angry. So, and these other examples as well are spot on as well as far as what we're talking about here. It's that movie that you play. It's not just what's going on, but it's all the stuff that you add on top of it. And so what ends up being is our actual experience of life is very different from what's actually going on in front of us. And also by gaining this deep sense of clarity, sort of clearing away the fog, we can also on the flip side begin to see things we never noticed before. So the, you know, this movie of our life where we make things even more tragic and even more, anger causing and fear driven, that begins to dissipate and we can see more clearly, clearing that fog. But on the flip side of clearing that fog away, we also begin to see things that we saw them before. We saw the flower, we saw the sky, we saw the tree, but we didn't really see it before. Our eyes, we see with different eyes. So we can now really begin to see, we begin to notice the beauty of a flower, the awe-inspiringness of the blue sky. There's a lot of mountains nearby me because I live in Southern California, and I'm repeatedly blown away by the beauty of the mountains. They're close enough to where I can really see them quite clearly, and I'm consistently blown away by the beauty of them. A tree, anything, a natural beauty is the first thing that really you'll notice most significantly. But we can also learn to appreciate everything, including our loved ones, even more. You know, you think that you couldn't possibly love a particular loved one more, but we don't tend to notice them as much as we could. If we had this keen awareness, and this keenness awareness as it begins to develop, we notice more clearly our loved ones, and there's this sort of appreciation that develops in us, a deeper sense of appreciation develops in us. So it's all these things that happen as a result of the practice, and it's all about developing that awareness, developing that mindfulness, developing that ability to see our life clearly as it is. And all these magical things happen as a result of it. Now, it doesn't mean you don't stop being a human being. Again, you don't stop getting angry and sad and all this different stuff. You don't levitate. That's not what it's about. It's just simply about seeing your life as it is clearly without all of the fog in front of it. And so you still experience all those different negative emotions, but you experience the positive ones as well. And you have the ability to experience everything with a more grounded, more stable, more balanced, more spacious mind to it. You can appreciate things more. You're more resilient. You don't see things like they're the end of the world when they happen. You see things like, okay, this happened. You know, it's made me angry. It's made me sad. Okay, I see it, I understand it, and you're able to move on. You're able to keep those things from clinging on to those things or being averse to them, trying actively to push them away. You're more accepting and okay with what goes on around you. That makes the difficult things that much less difficult and the good things that much better. So, mindful breathing is the first meditation practice the Buddha suggested. It's the simplest and most basic of mindfulness practices, and it serves as the core of meditation practice. For this reason, Meditation for everyday life focuses on this mindfulness meditation practice, mindful breathing. Furthermore, in module 4, later on at the end of the course, we'll start more directly bringing mindfulness into daily activities. So just so you have a heads up, we are going to be expanding beyond just mindful breathing, and that's going to be in the last module of the course. And there's a specific reason why we do that with regards to making meditation a consistent daily practice. There's actually a very important reason why we do that, but it also further helps support and improve and strengthen your overall meditation and mindfulness practice. So moving on to question number 2. The first one is definitely the biggest one of all, and it cleared up a lot of confusion, at least within this second lesson. But there's still a number of really important questions to go that can really hang people up quite a bit. And this is absolutely one of them. How long should I meditate? This is a question that confuses a lot of aspiring meditators in the beginning. The misconception, and listen to this carefully, is that you want to start off meditating for longer periods to get the most from the practice and advance as quickly as possible, 20, 30 plus minutes. That might make sense, right? Especially in the West, we want to go all the way with stuff. And that's absolutely how I grew up. I was always like that. And still to some degree I am. And I want to just, I have a hard time doing things less than 100%. And I want to, do things as intensely as I can right from the beginning. But that's actually what leads a lot of people into trouble. In the beginning, this is a recipe for failure. By thinking you have to meditate for long periods each time you sit, you build up mental resistance to the act of sitting in meditation considerably. The result is that after a short while, you don't sit at all. You fall off your practice because you keep thinking, oh God, I have to meditate today. 30 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't have time for that. And so it's just, you're already going to be fighting against these psychological barriers, which we cover throughout the course, particularly in module 3. So you're already going to be fighting against them. And doing this just makes it that much harder in the beginning. So naturally you fall off your practice. You say, you know what, I don't have time for that today. One day leads to 2, which leads to 3, which leads to you falling off your practice entirely. Or, at best, you meditating once every, every week or 2 or every couple of weeks or something, or just really whenever it is you happen to remember or something like that. So what's the alternative? What do you actually do? Should you do, rather? So this is a chart that came from a study that Coach.me did, which used to be called Lyft. And this is from their meditation program. They studied the people that did their meditation program. They wanted to find out how long did lifters or students on Coach.me meditate when they first started. And what was the correlation to that, to how well they stuck to their practice? So the numbers on the left are actually days, the days in which they stuck to their practice. And the numbers at the bottom are how long they meditated. So you see there's this huge spike, with just a couple of minutes, meditating for just a couple of minutes. And as soon as it drops down, as soon as it reaches 10 plus minutes. And remember, this is when they first started. So as you go on, you're going to extend your meditation practice. You're going to expand it from 5 to 10 minutes to 15 to 20, etc. But in the beginning, how long did meditators meditate when they first started? Did these people meditate when they first started? If it's 10 minutes or longer when they first started, they were so much more likely to drop off. Now, maybe they could keep it up for about a month. You see there, it's somewhere about between 20 and 40 days or so. So it looks like everything's okay. But, after those first couple of weeks, motivation starts to wane and you start to feel like, man, I got to do this, just like I said. And then one day it just happens to fit and you give it up one day. And then, that second day becomes that much easier, and the third and the fourth and the fifth. And then eventually you drop off your practice. Whereas the opposite scenario is you see somewhere between 2 and 5 minutes in the beginning, this is a huge spike. You see 130 days or something like that before they even miss anything. So consistently for a really, 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 really long period of time. And this chart even cuts off right there. So it actually could, if the study went on longer, it could have continued past that. Well, And also keep in mind, too, a lot of people meditating on coach.me, they're just meditating for just kind of on the side for the reason that a number of people practice nowadays, which is just sort of to make themselves more productive and successful and such. So they're not necessarily having any sort of real emphasis on the benefits of the deeper benefits of the practice, which, you know, further encourages somebody to practice. And yet still they're able to keep this up for such long periods of time. So again, somewhere between 2 and 5 minutes, and it's still really high if they started off at 10, although it's not, you see a pretty significant drop off from there. So this is the alternative. By sitting for 1 to 3 minutes in the first week, 5 to 10 for the next week, or longer after that, you greatly increase your ability to stick consistently to a daily meditation practice. That's why my suggestion is this. Week one, or you know, at least for your first 3 to 4 days, depending on how you're feeling, you do 1 to 2 minutes. That's it. Sounds kind of insane, but in that same coach.me study, it showed that that I mentioned that the chart that I showed right there, it showed that it didn't matter how long they meditated. And the consistency factor also in that same study they showed after the 11th day of sticking to whatever length of time, whether it was 10, 20 minutes or 1 to 2 minutes or 5 minutes, the length of time didn't matter. There was no correlation to how well they stuck to the practice. After the 11th day, their ability to stick to the practice went up by about 90%, no matter how long they were practicing from the beginning. And so they could have been practicing for 1 minute and they were just as consistent. So you can just be practicing for 1 to 2 minutes for the first, or 1 to 3 minutes for the first 3 to 4 days of the first week, and building that habit, building the foundation of your practice, getting used to sitting down on your cushion at that specific time, in that specific place, in that specific way, and doing the practice. And that's the most important thing. Those are all so much more important than meditating for an extra couple of minutes in the beginning. And very quickly, you can expand your practice. So it's 1 to 2 sessions a day. And I say that throughout this. So this whole time, you could be doing 1 to 2 sessions a day. And week two, it's 5 minutes you expand to. Not by much, just a couple minutes more. 5 minutes, the practice really starts to be significant. You're sitting down for a whole 5 minutes. Week three, you go to 10. Week four, you gauge how you feel. You should be able to expand to 15 or 20 by that time. And at that point, you're at the end of your first month and you're actually at 15 to 20 minutes of meditation 1 to 2 times a day. That's a really decent meditation practice every single day. And that only took 4 weeks. Just a couple of weeks, you're raring and ready to go, and you've got this really, really decent meditation practice established, and it's because you did things right from the get-go, as opposed to jumping in and trying to do 20 minutes right away, and of course, you saw from that chart, dropping off very quickly. So how long should you meditate if you're just beginning right now? And even if just you've had a hard time sticking to a consistent practice, just make it a couple minutes for these first couple of days. You know, for these first couple of days in between now and module two, when we really start to work on consistency and sticking to practice and making it a daily practice, just make it a couple minutes. Just make sure you sit for a couple of minutes each day. And again, 1 to 2 sessions, that's ultimately up to you. After the first month of practice, you will have been halfway to strongly cementing the practice of meditation as a daily habit and be meditating for 15 to 20 minutes, 1 to 2 times a day. We'll work on putting our official meditation times as well as session lengths slash time structure into place in module two. So for now, just know to start off simple with a few minutes a day, 1 to 2 times a day. So module two, we really get on this. We really work on meditation times and the lengths of your session and the timing structure. So know that we do go into this in greater detail in module one, but just for now, while you're going through module one, just meditate for a few minutes a day. You could grab one of those two guided meditations that were in lesson one and use those for the next couple of days to guide you through the practice for the next couple of days. Grow more accustomed to it. And then in module two, we really start to hammer down on some details for establishing your regular meditation time and place and everything. So question number three, how do I know I'm meditating / being mindful? And the I am trick. How do you know you're being mindful? Now, if you're just beginning your practice, if you're going off of the guided meditations from lesson one, you'll be counting the breath, just as we did again in the lesson one guided meditations. Meditating in this way is great because in the beginning it gives you a way to clearly know both when you've lost your concentration, you've stopped counting, and whether you're meditating slash being mindful in the first place. So you know if you're counting, you're being mindful. And if you lose the count, you're no longer counting, you're no longer aware, you're no longer being mindful of the count. And you've lost your concentration, you've stopped counting. And you know to go back to the count, to continue to focus on the breath and count each breath. However, and there's two points to this. How do you know you're being mindful when you progress from counting the breath to following the breath? And this honestly could really be useful even when you're counting the breath as well, because you might not necessarily know, okay, but how do I know I'm meditating even though I'm just counting? I'm paying attention to the sensation of the breath as I'm counting, one in, two out, three in, four out. You use the I am trick. It's what I call the I am trick. You know you're being mindful if you know I am, in this case, breathing. If you know I am breathing, as I breathe, I know that I am breathing, then you're being mindful. It's a super simple test of awareness, essentially. If you're aware you're doing it, then you're being mindful. As I action, again, we talked about breathing. As I action, I know that I am doing the action. So as I breathe, walk, think, I know that I am breathing, walking, thinking. Remember, you might not necessarily be, so you're focusing on your breath, you might lose your concentration and drift off into a thought. When you acknowledge that thought, you're being mindful of the thought. As you think, you know, I am thinking about this. You say, I am thinking about, being late to class yesterday. I feel anger. You label it anger. I know I am angry over being late to class yesterday. Whatever it is, as you gain some great clarity in your meditation practice, you'll begin to see things like this. You label them, you're aware of them, you're mindful of them. And that's essentially what the practice is. And then when you go back to your breath, it's the same thing. As I breathe, I know that I am breathing. As a part of the course, you're practicing mindful breathing. That's what we did in the guided meditations in lesson one. So that equation looks like this, as I mentioned. As I breathe, I know that I am breathing. As long as you're focused on your breath, you know you're meditating. However, that leads us to a problem. This is a really important point I want to make sure to bring up. And I mentioned I would go into this more in lesson one. You won't be able to concentrate on your breath, or anything for that matter, for long in the beginning of your practice. Your mind will race and thoughts will constantly arise, interrupting your concentration often every few seconds. And this can often happen well after you've been practicing for some time, even for years. Your mind will still at times race and you'll still have a hard time keeping your concentration. And that's just a part of the practice. It's different for everyone, but no matter what happens, it's the same thing. You do the same thing as a result of that. Don't treat your thoughts as interruptions. Accept all thoughts, feelings, and bodily sensations non-judgmentally. Now, what do I mean by that and how do you do it? This means don't actively think about the thought, feeling, or sensation, and don't label it as bad, good, or anything else. The point is you're not labeling it as, you're not judging it in any way. So the thoughts, feelings, and sensations will arise. That's just the reality of it. It's natural. It's perfectly natural. It's just how we're built. It's what happens. Don't push them away on both sides of the spectrum. You're not going to push them away. And you also don't indulge in them. You simply let them be and observe them as they are. So if it's a particular thought, if it's a particular feeling, you don't try to further read into it. And you also don't push it away and act like, I don't feel this. You know, maybe it's a feeling of sadness and you're used to sort of pushing that feeling away. You don't push the feeling away. And you also don't sit there indulging in it, allowing yourself to feel it and sort of, whatever the feeling, the thing that might be connected to it. Maybe you might want to feel sort of, oh, poor me, or, whatever that might be connected with sadness in particular. On both ends of the spectrum, you don't push it away and you don't indulge in it. You simply let it be. You identify. You could even say sadness. So you're labeling what it is with regards to the direct thing. If it's sadness, if you feel sadness, you say sadness. So you're acknowledging, I feel sadness. You're observing it simply as it is. Not sadness because of this, or sadness because I'm not good enough at this. It's just sadness. I'm feeling this. I'm thinking this. Or I'm feeling this in my body, this sensation. Once you've acknowledged the thought, feeling, or sensation non-judgmentally, simply shift your focus back to your object of meditation, in this case, the breath. And you do this as many times as is necessary until your meditation session is complete. Now, you'll hear often when there's a number of sort of instructions online where they'll tell you to sort of just let go of the thought, feeling, or sensation. You know, acknowledge it and just let it go. Let it float by. And I honestly, I've been guilty of saying this before too, because very much in a way, you are doing that. You're allowing it to sort of occupy the space in your mind. And then in a very real way, you are letting go of it and then going back to your breath. But really, that's confusing for a lot of people. You're not actively doing anything with it. You're just turning away from it. You're just shifting your focus back to something else. All you need is to acknowledge it non-judgmentally. That's all you're actually doing with the thought, feeling, or sensation, or whatever arises that, you know, quote unquote, interrupts you during your meditation practice. So that's all you're actually doing with that. And then you shift your focus back. So don't be confused if you hear descriptions or explanations like that. Or if you have been confused in the past, know that this is actually what you're doing. Don't be confused by that. Joseph Goldstein, he's one of my favorite meditation teachers, someone that I really look up to, says the three most important words in mindfulness meditation are simply begin again. I've heard him say this before, and I think it's so powerful and so true. Remember this mantra. This is the practice. It's such an important thing to remember. Simply begin again. And of course, this is referring to the fact that our minds are crazy monkeys. We will be, you know, quote unquote, interrupted. Those thoughts, feelings, and sensations will arise, and it will draw your concentration away from the breath. You simply acknowledge whatever that thought, feeling, or sensation is, and you simply begin again. You once again go back to the breath, and then you go back to the breath again and again and again. You simply begin again. That's what the practice is. So again, remember this mantra. This is the practice. That's what the practice is all about. Question number four, last question. What is the difference between mindfulness and meditation? And again, as I mentioned, I don't just mention this just, you know, for intellectual reasons. There's actually a real important practical reason why I'm answering this question in this video. So the words mindfulness and meditation get thrown around a lot in the same context. And I'm even guilty of this as well. However, it's because with regards to mindfulness meditation, they're essentially the same thing. So that's, of course, if we're talking about mindfulness meditation. There are different forms of meditation practice that don't necessarily involve mindfulness, although some say that they don't, which actually do involve an aspect of mindfulness. It's just not labeled that. But there are forms of meditation practice that don't necessarily involve mindfulness. So keep that in mind. But of course, we're talking about mindfulness meditation here. And so when we're talking about that, they are essentially the same thing when you're talking about mindfulness meditation. However, mindfulness, unlike meditation, isn't just a practice. Meditation is just a practice. Mindfulness is also a quality. The quality of mindfulness is that of an expanded, more clear-seeing form of awareness. It's the ability to see our life clearly, without the obstructions or tinted lenses, as I like to describe them as often, that we typically view our life through. And so again, it's that expanded, more clear-seeing form of awareness. That's the quality of mindfulness. So it's not just the practice, it's also a quality. So in mindfulness meditation, we're developing the quality of mindfulness. However, there's more to it. What about the practice? When speaking about meditation, there are essentially two qualities which we develop simultaneously. It's mindfulness, but also concentration. And this is represented in the Buddha's Eightfold Path through right mindfulness and right concentration. Those are the central aspects of meditation practice, and that's what you're developing through meditation practice. Now, you can be mindful of your surroundings without necessarily concentrating on one point, or at least for very long. at least not putting all that much emphasis on concentration. However, concentration is an equally important aspect of meditation practice, which also needs to be developed. Even if it gets less attention because there are no particular meditation practices named after it. It is an equally important aspect of meditation practice. So keep that in mind. The second quality you're developing is concentration. It's mindfulness and concentration. Concentration is the ability to concentrate on one point for a longer period of time, to more focus your mind in a stronger way. And there's endless benefits to that, just like there are benefits to the quality of mind, to developing the quality of mindfulness as well. So they're both very important. Any form of mindfulness practice is never just mindfulness. It's mindfulness plus concentration, and sometimes other factors, working together seamlessly. And that's often why, for those who don't have all that much experience of the practice, why it can feel like it's just mindfulness. But concentration is a very important aspect, which is quite easy to overlook. You know, you're always concentrating on something like the breath. And if you weren't doing that, the practice wouldn't be all that effective. So mindfulness plus concentration. Keep that in mind. That's what I meant by there's a practical aspect to this answer. It's very important to understand you're developing mindfulness and concentration as qualities. So in the next lesson, I mentioned the preview of the next lesson, and it's important because this is expanding off of lesson two. This is the biggest question, the biggest misconception, the biggest challenge in mindfulness practice. It's such a big misconception that it keeps a huge amount of people from ever trying meditation, and it makes a ton of people, the largest portion of people, drop off of their practice thinking that they don't know how to do it, thinking that they've failed at meditation, or that they're just not good, they're bad at meditation. And so it's all about the monkey mind. So we're going to talk about what is the monkey mind and how do we tame it, or how do we calm it? I'm bad/failing at meditation. What do I do? So I'm going to answer that question in the lesson. What do we do about that? The greatest misconception of all and what to do about it. So specifically with regards to the monkey mind, what is that misconception that I'm talking about and what do we do about it? And lastly, a simple practice for calming the monkey mind and improving concentration. So that's what mindfulness meditation is about. You're improving your concentration. You're calming the mind, not necessarily calming the thoughts. You're not necessarily going to sit down and stop, you know, with the mind racing, but you're going to gain clarity. So imagine a pool of water, and there's a ton of fish swimming around in the water. It's a crazy sea of chaos in the water. But the water is also tumultuous itself. So there's something that's created a lot of ripples in the water, so you can't see very clearly into the pond. Well, mindfulness meditation, it will calm the mind to some degree. That all depends on the person. A lot or a little bit, and also depends on how long you've been practicing as well. As you go, you calm the mind more. But it's not necessarily about, you know, taking the fish away and calming that chaos. It's about calming the quality of the water and calming those ripples so that you can see clearly down into the lake, so that you can clearly perceive everything that's going on. Because these are they're natural thoughts. You're not actively thinking about something. These thoughts, feelings, and sensations are naturally occurring due to the conditioning, due to our day-to-day life, due to our habitual patterns. And when you have that clarity and you can experience, you can see clearly what's going on in your body and your mind, you can see what's going on. You can see what's causing you suffering. You can see what's holding you back. You can see what's hurting you, and you can make a change. And so that's such an important point, and that's really, really what it's about. We talk about that in more detail. And again, in the next lesson, lesson three, which is all about the monkey mind. And we actually go into a particular practice that can further help calm the mind and improve concentration. So again, the practice of mindfulness meditation itself is about improving concentration and calming the monkey mind. But there are certain things you can do to further help that, especially if your mind just seems extra crazy in the beginning, like mine was. So I look forward to seeing you in lesson three. Make sure to click the button below if you're ready to get started. As soon as you are, click that button, move on to lesson three, and make sure to pop on one of the guided meditations. Do your few-minute practice, whether it's 1 minute or 5 minutes. Do that quick practice before you move on to the next lesson. Make sure you're doing your practice at least once a day. We're going to talk in more detail again about creating that consistent practice in module one. Module two, and for now, make sure you're doing that few minute practice right now in between each lesson each day. All right, see you in next lesson. Peace.